Good morning. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading at verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Chris. We're now going to have our second reading from Joshua chapter 23. Joel's going to come and lead and then speak to us.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, others. We're a bit low on numbers this morning. If you see a space where you normally expect a friend here on a Sunday, please give them a ring this afternoon just to check they're okay. I can't ring everyone. Chadwick and Rose said they were away at a family event, so I know why they're not here. But if there's a friend you're missing, do please show friendship and be in touch with them. The bookstall is available after. Please do go and have a look. And there are some freebies there, some little leaflets that you can put into Christmas cards or into gifts that you might give, which will provoke people to think about the true message of Christmas, why Jesus came. So do have a look. There's freebies as well as recommended books that will help you or that would be good gifts to pass on to others. So Joshua chapter 23, page 239. after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I've allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. You are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs a thousand because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, in our lives, many things cry out to us for attention, things that seem to be essential, things we cannot ignore, we cannot do without them. It might be pleasing your family. It might be protecting your mental health. It might be looking good by having the right clothes, the right phone, driving the right car, having the home presented in a certain way. It might be making our children successful. They cry out to us for attention. They demand our commitment. We cannot ignore them. We cannot do without them, we might think. But nothing is wrong with those things. But what is wrong is becoming devoted to them and being convinced that they are essential. Thinking those things can be disastrous for God's people. This chapter is the second of three gatherings that Joshua calls. Chapter 22 is for the eastern tribes. He sent them back over the Jordan to their land. In this chapter, it's to the leaders of the nation. And in chapter 24, it will be to all Israel. So it's the ending of the book that they've crossed over into the land. They've taken the land. They've shared it. And now there are these final three gatherings. And Joshua says to them, you already have the victory. You have the land, verse 3, 4, and 5. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. So God has been on their side. God has been for them when they have this land now to take. But there are now two alternative futures that Joshua sets out in this chapter. You can have life with God in the land, or you can not have life with God and be thrown out of the land. And those two futures depend on a choice. They must hold fast to the one true Lord, and they must not serve the gods of the nations. Those are both, it's the same choice expressed in different ways. Eniola, there's a slide for the talk. If you could put that up, please. Thank you. So the first part of what Joshua, or the first way in which Joshua sets this choice out, it says, hold fast to the Lord. And that's in verse 8. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. That's the idea of binding together of a man and a woman that happens in marriage. A man and a woman hold fast to each other. They bond to one another. They're united in marriage, or old Bible word was cleave. They cleave to one another. So it's the idea of commitment to only one. Hold fast to the Lord. It's the idea you do not commit to another if you're holding fast to him. Don't hold fast to or bond with or cleave with another, because that will take up our devotion and determine our lives. Why should they do this? Why should they be fully committed to the Lord? Well, Joshua gives them the reason. The reason is you've seen what he has done. So cling on to the one Lord because of what he has done. He has driven out the nations. Verse 9. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. Hold fast him because of that. Hold fast, verse 3, because he fought for you. Verse 3, you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. You've seen what he has done. He has been for you. Verse 10, hold fast because he will fight for you now. Sorry, not verse 10. It is verse 10. One of you rants 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. You have on your side a God who is stronger than strong nations. So be committed to him. Don't go the other way. Now, for them, if they held fast to the Lord, they would enjoy life in the land with its cities of refuge for good justice, with the place of the altar, the one place for worshiping God, and the harvests to enjoy in God's presence. Our life with God now is different. It's not tied to that place in the Middle East. Our life is with God is about spiritual blessings. And we're still waiting for our promised land, which is the new heavens and the new earth, still to come. But it's the same instruction for us. Hold fast to the Lord. Hold fast to the Lord. And for the same reason. Hold fast to the Lord, hold fast to Jesus, because you've seen what the Almighty God has done. And we've actually seen a lot more than these people back then had seen. So we can look back and see in the Old Testament, God gave them the land. Read this story and be encouraged. We can see, and we will think about this at Christmas, the coming of Jesus into our world to do what we could not do. Hold fast to him because of that. And then the death of Jesus for our sins. And the Bible says that shows God did not spare his own son, but gave him for us. He is for us. He cares for us. So commit to him. And I hope that you will have experiences within your own life that make you think, yeah, I should commit to God. Your heart has been reassured by forgiveness for sins. The word of God, as we look at it week by week, and as you think about it during your week, makes sense. It just makes so much more sense than other ways of looking at life and thinking about God. I hope that you experience the goodness of meeting with God's people on a Sunday. And maybe if you come to the midweek group or Wednesday morning church, those are good things. Yes, it is hard being a follower of Jesus. But as Peter said to him, no one else has got the words of eternal life. Why would we go to anyone else? Why would we give up? Hold fast to the Lord, because he is for you. That's the sensible thing to do, isn't it? It's the logical thing to do, to hold fast to him, the faithful, powerful God who is for you. But what does that mean? And it's a bit vague, isn't it? Say hold fast to him or cleave to him in the old language. What does that mean? Well, Joshua tells them to do just what God had told Joshua to do at the beginning of the book. So let's see Joshua's command here, verse 6. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or the left. That's how they're going to do it. That's how they're going to cling to him. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or the left. Now, it was way back in September that we started working through Joshua. Back in chapter 1, so I think we need to refresh our memories. Put a finger in chapter 23 and turn back to chapter 1, which is on page 216. Although there's no number at the top of the page, but Joshua chapter 1. And there, that was before they'd gone into the land. God spoke this instruction to Joshua. Verse 7 and 8 of chapter 1. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left. Sound familiar? That's what we've just read in chapter 23. That you may be successful wherever you go. In verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Continue to think about this. Be a person who holds fast to God. God is a God who speaks. So how do we hold fast to him? By listening. And by really listening. Remember what we said back in September. This idea that Joshua is to meditate, it's also could be understood as muttering, saying the words over and over. Now, that is not like what the Muslims do with the Quran. Muslims with the Quran think if you just say the words in Arabic, it's beneficial for you. That's not what the Bible's talking about, because God is a person who speaks so that we understand and that we then act as he wants us to. The warning for us is we might think, well, if I put the Bible on my phone or on my wall at home or on my door of my house, somehow those words are going to make a difference. Satan actually used the words of God when he tried to tempt Jesus. Satan's not scared by you just having those shapes on your walls or those shapes on your doors. That's not going to scare him if he's actually going to speak those words. Meditation is not just saying words. It's being a person who puts their trust in the God who speaks. So we mutter them, we repeat them all through the day so that we understand them, so that we can practice them. And it's ensuring it sinks in so that I'm not just thinking, oh, there's an idea about God I heard from church on Sunday, but this is something about my God and I am his child. Do you remember a few weeks ago we looked at the way we can put our name into the promises of God? God so loved Rob at the back there that he gave his only son, that if Rob believes in him, he will not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved Graham that if Graham puts his trust in Jesus, Graham will not perish, but have eternal life. We can make these things ours in that way, but in other ways, by thinking about them through our days. Back to Joshua 23. This is the instruction there, isn't it? Verse 6. This is how the people were to hold fast to the speaking God. Be strong, be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or the left. So the future of this group of Christians, which is called the church, when Christians meet together, it's called the church. it depends not on the bank balance, but on the place of the Bible amongst us. People have said in the past, there's a real danger of churches drifting. One generation believes the message of the word. The next generation, they take it for granted and they focus on something else. And then the third generation, they drift away altogether. And that happens in churches quite quickly as people say, well, yeah, the Bible's a really good thing. I'm glad that you're at DPC, you've got the Bible there, but you need more. You need a choir. You need a better social media, an internet presence. You need a strategy that is, you know, really professional and looks clear. And those things will make you go ahead. And some of those things are good and okay, but if we assume that we need the Bible and something else, we tend to start thinking about the something else and end up forgetting about the Bible. Questions for us. Do I read my Bible? I'm not just for you to ask about, Joel, but do you read your Bible? Do you read your Bible or hear it on an app or meet with another Christian to read it with them? And when you read it, do you expect it, oh, it's just going to say what I knew it was going to say? Or are you waiting for the Bible to shock you and outrage you? Because it's God speaking and he's not going to just agree with what you want. Or are we only reading the Bible so we can store up some arguments to beat the Muslims with at school or college or at work or some other group? According to the Bible, this is what it is to be strong as a church and as a Christian. The strong church seeks to do what the Bible says. And the Bible says the strong person seeks to do what the Bible says, because what the Bible says is what God says. It is a brave thing. It is a strong thing for us to be devoting ourselves to the word. So hold fast to the word, because God is for you. Saying the same thing in another way, next heading, Anyada, please. Don't serve other gods. Don't serve other gods. Verse 7. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke, that means speak or seek to use the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. So it's not here saying you mustn't buy anything from their shops. It's not saying you've got to avoid being on their football team at break time. Not saying you should ignore them when they say good morning. So not about the people of the nations. It's about the gods of those people. That's what they're to avoid. Now, for them, the gods that were around them were things that the people believed would control the weather, would control the harvest, would give you children, those sorts of things. Now, today in London, it'd be very hard for you to find a place where you can go and bow down to the god Baal or the god Chemosh. Those are the names of those gods. But there are different alternatives that cry out for our attention. Things that promise that will make life work. You've got to commit to these things. You've got to be devoted to them and your life will work. So I've mentioned them, haven't I? Looking good, having the right clothes or phone or car, making our children successful, being popular online or with people that you meet, honoring the family. In some cultures, dealing with a dangerous spirit. There are cultures in the world and in London today where people are worried about spirits that can harm them. Living for these things, daydreaming about them, day and night, worrying about how to deal with them. That involves turning away from God. Verse 12, if you turn away, I mentioned in my introduction, you're over preoccupation with mental health. I don't want anyone here who's got mental health problems to think that it's wrong to take medication or seek help with that. But for some of us, it can become the one thing that matters. And if only I've got sort of safe mental health, then everything's okay. That's not the case. Because you can have a very clear mind, very content and secure, and be far from God, which is a terrible situation. Do not serve other gods. That's the instruction. Why? Well, again, Joshua tells them why. Tells them because two reasons. Verse 13. This will be the effect of associating with the people of their gods. Verse 13. Then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, those people will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land. A trap, an animal is pinned down, dead, finished. A whip, it hurts and it drives you where you don't want to go. A snare traps an animal. It's helpless, stuck until someone comes and takes it away. A thorn pains you. Sharp and focused pains. Associating with those people will be those things until they lose life with God, because life for them with God was in the land, in that part of the Middle East. Not for us, but for them, that was what life was with God was. Then he goes on to say there's a bigger reason not to serve other gods. Verse 14. Now, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Okay? He's a God who keeps promises. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Said the same things three times there. God keeps his promises. What does that mean for them? It means he will keep his word of punishment. Verse 15. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If they bow down and serve these other gods, God will keep his promise as he's proved himself to be reliable, and they will lose that life. They will lose what is good. So the reason here, do not serve other gods, ultimately because of God's anger. Do not serve other gods because it will bring the Lord's anger. Verse 16, if you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good lands he has given you. This idea of God's anger is only mentioned three times in Joshua, and the other two times in Joshua chapter 7, where Achan sins against God. Do you remember what Achan did? He saw something that he was supposed to hand over for destruction for God, but he kept it, and he took it, and he hid it. And in chapter 7, the big problem is not how can Achan become a good man. The big problem is how can God's anger be dealt with? Because God is now angry with the whole people. And the only way God's anger is dealt with is if the focus of God's burning anger is burned. So the things that Achan had wanted, and Achan and all his other things, were burned. Now, in London today, in schools where our children are taught and in our workplaces, people think being tolerant is the most important part of being a Christian. And tolerance is very precious, that we should allow others who disagree with us. But God is not tolerant of everything. There are things that God said must not happen, and when they happen, he is intolerant of the people who do that. If we put our arms around the things that God has condemned, we're embracing God's anger. If we put our things around the things that God has condemned, we are embracing God's anger. That's what we're hugging on to. So hold fast to the Lord. For us in the New Testament, that means hold fast to Jesus. Do not serve other gods. Do not devote your life to those things that will take you from him. And we hold fast to him by being people of the word. The alternative is God's anger. Now, and I asked Chris to read the passage he did from the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is very clear that this is still the case. He says there are two gates, there are two ways, there are two types of teachers, there are two choices, and there are, in the end, there are two destinations. And he pictured them, you know, the person whose whole life was destroyed and lost, or the person whose life endured. We have to choose. And Jesus is very clear. There is a, you have to make a choice. You can't have both. Now, later on, the Bible history tells us that the people of Israel, they made the wrong choice. So what's going to happen to them? Real question. What's going to happen to them? What did they got kicked out? They lost the land. Remember the time of Daniel? The great empire of Babylon came in, overran the land, took the people away to exile. They were taken away from the good land. God kept his promise. How can we do any better? Well, thank God that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to us to enable us to have hearts right towards God. But we must do our part, which is that we continue to be people of the word. Read it together. Listen to it. Let it shock you and put it into practice. Let's have a moment's pause, and then I will lead us in a prayer. Almighty God in heaven, we thank you for the many ways the Bible shows that you are someone who keeps your promises. Strengthen our belief in that, that we are content and joyful Christians because we know the promise-keeping God. Lord, strengthen our resolve that we will not give in to these alternative gods, these things that cry out for all our attention and would draw us away from you. We thank you, Lord, that you have kindly given us this warning of your anger, and Jesus has repeated that. Make us people who take this warning seriously, please, both for ourselves and others. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.